We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Yes, that's right. We're riding with the King, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you and Howard Eskin on location tonight. We sent Howard, Howard, where are you? We sent you somewhere. What's going on tonight?
Well, here's what I did. I put another first in my whatever career people want to call it. I made the first bet on an e-sports event in the state of New Jersey, and maybe the first one in the country. This afternoon, the League of Legends eSports, I made a bet on Team G2, which is Chalk, on the championship on Sunday in Paris. And I made the gambling authority in New Jersey, gave New Jersey permission to take bets on eSports, and Borgata was the first one, and I made the first bet. So it was a big, big, big moment for me.
Well, it sounds like it. And Howard, let me ask you this. As a former Vegas Vic, do you feel good about this one? Is this, did you just do it to do it, or you pick a winner here?
Well, I'm going to pick a winner because they're a conservative team. They don't panic when they get behind, and they just they ride it out, and they are the best. They are the best in esports right now in the League of Legends.
So now secretly, have you been following the League of Legends and not telling us, or is this, did you get some info on this?
I've been doing background research on this. No analytics, which is the best thing about this.
Just stats, right? Analytics. Just numbers, just stats?
Yeah, just numbers and just guys doing what they do best, and you're just moving forward. It's $1 million. Wait a minute, this is no joke. $1 million to the winning team. Who wins this? $1 million. Not bad.
No, that's a lot. That's more than I thought it would be. I mean, the business is booming, and now we have you down in AC placing the first bet. This is history on WIP.
This is history. I mean, there's a lot of firsts, whether it's the first one on AM, the first one on FM, now the first one to place a bet on esports in the state of New Jersey. Big. It's national news. It's national news. It went national. AP did a story on it.
Well,
national.
This is what we do on WIP. We make news. Good news, bad news, we make it all. 888-729-9494 to jump in. Howard with us live in Atlantic City. All right, Howard, let's touch on some things that happened the last couple days since we talked. And the biggest one would be that the Eagles did do what we thought they probably would do, and they signed Jordan Matthews officially yesterday. He is back. Howard, what's your thoughts on Matthews and really what you think he's going to bring here? Because I feel like people don't realize or kind of forgot he played a decent role last year. 15 yards a catch, 20-something catches, and he had the one in the Saints game, the touchdown catch early in that game. I like the move, and he knows the offense. I think this is a good move.
Well, he knows the offense, but there's a reason. I think he's been cut, what, two or three times in the last year?
Yep.
So you have to wonder about that a little bit. He's had injuries. That's part of it. Obviously, he passed the physical, so he's not injured now. I like Jordan. I don't hug him up like Elliott Shore Parks does, but I do like Jordan as a person. He connects. He knows the team. He fits in the locker room. So it's a plus. They still need somebody to extend to extend the field a little bit. They need a deep threat somewhere, and I don't know where they're going to get it. And Antonio Brown, if he had a chance anywhere, and I don't know that he had a chance, he blew himself up this afternoon or this morning. What a moron! What an idiot! You saw
the tweet. Yeah, he gets dumber by the day. It's like every time you think there's a chance, he just gets dumber.
I know. He knew there was going to be a hearing. He knew teams were interested. I don't know if the Eagles are one of those teams, but I would think just as a point of business. You check it out. I mean, I don't like the guy, but you check it out. But now teams have to really be fearful of him. Even if the NFL says you're not on an exempt list and you're not suspended, this guy can just go goofy anytime. Is he good? Yeah. But does he disrupt the locker room? Yeah, probably. So I just, what did he do? What was he thinking? I mean, what was he thinking? And, you know, that's a guy that obviously it could be a deep threat, but I don't know that it matters now. And I don't know that it's going to be a short process. And I don't know that he's going to get back without being suspended in the NFL. And it was the beginning of the season. It's like Cleveland took Kareem Hunt, and he's playing on Sunday. He was suspended 8 games. So because you had the whole season and you knew you were getting him back halfway through, now Antonio Brown might, well, obviously, if you sign him now, he can get his suspension out of the way, but somebody's got to sign him, and then you don't get him anyway. So I don't know what I don't know what's going to happen. But I like Jordan Matthews. I still want to see the Eagles have the ability to go deep. But if they don't turn the ball over, they play defense the way they have the last couple of games, and turning the ball over, it's not rocket science. You don't turn it over, you win games. And that's what they have to do. But the defense has to step up the way they've been stepping up, and they've gotten players back, so that's helped. But, yeah, it's they added another player. They added a safety, but I don't know if that makes much of a difference, too. But Jordan Matthews obviously gives them a little bit more at wide receiver.
Let me throw this at you, Howard, because we agree on AB that he, you know, any chance he had is over now. And I didn't want him anyway, but he's not coming here. And, you know, they get Matthews. This is probably it. They're probably not going to add anything else of note unless someone else gets hurt. This is probably the team moving forward. Howard, when you look at this team right now, throw Matthews in the mix, look at the schedule, the team, the way they're kind of trending on offense, which is more the tight ends and running the ball. Do you think they have enough to get to the playoffs? Because I do. You know, this isn't a great team. It's not a special team. But my expectation is they should get to the playoffs. This schedule is soft. I think they found something with an identity on offense now. The offensive line is healthy and playing well. I think this team can get to the playoffs.
I agree. I think there's a good chance to get to the playoffs. And the main reason is we know the Giants stink. We know Washington stinks, so they're out of it. Dallas played the easy part of their schedule the first half. Now they play the difficult part, where the Eagles played the difficult part, and now they play the easy part. So I know New England's not easy. I know Seattle's not easy. But the Dallas Cowboys have to play New England in New England. The Eagles play them here. And I still think the Eagles can win that game because I just don't think New England's offense. And then even if they lose Seattle, because the rest of it, what do they have the rest of the season? Look at the schedule. They have Miami, New York.
Washington.
Yeah, New York twice, right?
And Washington, yep.
Yeah, so it's not a difficult schedule. So even if they lose one, they still can be in real good shape because I just don't think the Cowboys are that good. I think they're okay. Let's put it this way. They're good. They're not. I don't know that they're a better team than the Eagles. And with their schedule, that could be difficult for them. So, yeah, I think they have a good chance to make the playoffs.
And I think, yeah, offensively, Howard, it's not pretty, but there's enough here to score points. Last week, and we kind of hit on this a little bit Tuesday, against the Bears, they almost had 400 yards offense. I know the receivers aren't what they want them to be and what we want them to be, but I don't look at this and say, oh, they can't score points. There's enough here for Doug and Carson to figure out a way to put 20-something points on the board every game.
Yeah, and you just, if you're going to, you know, you're going to stack box to stop the run, they can still complete passes with those tight ends. The tight ends are now the focal point. And they played 100% of the snaps last week, didn't they? Goddard and Ertz, they may have played 100% of the snaps. I don't remember, but they played close to it. And you're going to have to use that, and you're going to have Nelson Aguilar, who's playing for a contract, step up a little bit more. You need those people to do a good job for you. And Alshon Jeffrey, and I know he had a sprained ankle, and you just hope he's all right for next week. They really do need him, and they need him to play a little bit better than he's played. And if they get that, then I think they're okay. And okay is okay in this division.
It is, and you mentioned Dallas' schedule, which is tough. They have Minnesota this weekend. You said it. They still have to go to New England. Howard, when you look at this thing, I think if they get one of the Seattle and New England game, they're going to find their way to the playoffs, because that would give them enough wins that if they beat Dallas, there's no tiebreaker. I think they would jump over Dallas. You know, if they lose both Seattle and New England, they really would. It wouldn't be perfect even if they beat Dallas, because they could still lose on a tiebreaker. They could both end up 10-6. But if they get one of these two games against New England and Seattle, it's all there for them. Like, they'll go into December with everything in their hands.
Yeah, well, they can win 11, too. If they only lose one game,
yep.
Isn't it 11? I think that would be 11, wouldn't it?
Well, if they won out, including Dallas, that would be 11.
Yeah, that would be 11, and I think that would be better than Dallas. And obviously, they'd have to beat Dallas the next to last game of the season, and that would be important. Without that, then none of it makes any difference. But I just Dallas doesn't. If you look what they've done against bad teams, it's fine. Against good teams, and you know, again, nobody's played a lot of really good teams, but they got smoked by Green Bay. Smoked. And Green Bay's a good team. So, no, I think they have a good chance to make the playoffs. But they have to play the way they did the last couple of weeks. Very little mistakes, few penalties, either zero or no turnovers, and they win games. And that's what it really comes down to. And your boy Carson Wentz, who I know you think is a very good quarterback, you're changing your mind on him, I'm sure, will lead them through the wilderness.
Well, look, if he does, I will give him a lot of credit for it, Howard, because this isn't a perfect team. But I do believe, and as I said to you, there's enough here that he can win with. And I expect him to. Like, they should get to 10 wins. If 10 is not enough and they miss out on a tiebreaker, well, you know, that's probably what he's going to do at this point. But I think he should get them to 10 wins. And if he doesn't, if they don't have 10 wins at the end of the year, I'm going to be disappointed in everyone over there.
Yeah, it's not just going to be him. It's going to be everybody shares a piece of it. In football, more than any other sport, everybody shares a piece of it.
There's no question. Howard Eskin joining us here. He's on location in Atlantic City placing historic bets. Howard, Sixers lose last night. Ben Simmons is hurt with the shoulder injury, the AC joint, so he's not going to play tomorrow night. We'll see if he plays back here on Sunday. But I want to throw something at you, Howard, something I know you've talked about before. I mentioned it last night. You know, watching him early in the season, Howard, he's the same player. He's exactly the same player as he was when the last time we saw him last year. He hasn't changed. And unless he changes, Howard, I know they just paid him, but when we get to the trade deadline, we get to, you know, the middle of the season, if he's not a different player, I have to start thinking about trading him and looking at what they could get for Ben Simmons, because they can't win a title unless he changes something about his game. Shooting would be wonderful, but at least go to the basket and get fouled. I'm getting the same Ben Simmons, Howard. It's frustrating.
Teams are starting to understand how you defend him, because they know he won't take a shot, won't take a jumper, and just the threat of it, whether you make it or not, it's just the threat. He's not going to get to the basket as much. Teams understand what they have to do. Everything he shoots is around the basket, and then we looked up his statistics from 3 to 10 feet was 22%. He's still afraid to take the shot, even though we saw the Zapruder films in the off season.
Oh, there were plenty of them. Plenty of them.
I know. It showed that. What does that do? Does that work in a game? Can you run those Zapruder films during a game and say, here's Ben Simmons taking a three-pointer. Here's Ben Simmons taking a 15-footer. It doesn't work like that. Benjamin's got to find that J somewhere, because it's certainly not in his name anymore.
Well, no, you took it out, and he's got to find a way to put it back in. Howard, I want to play something for you, because this blew me away, and this – like, look, I like Ben. I think he's a good player, and he could be really good if he you know, evolves his game. But I heard this. So we had a caller the other night who mentioned that he heard an interview that Ben Simmons did with the Undefeated of ESPN. And a caller said that, you know, Ben kind of alluded to the idea that last year he was just kind of going through the motions and wasn't really given max effort. So we looked it up, and we found it, Howard. Listen to this. This is Ben Simmons.
Oh, gosh.
This was about a month ago with Marcus Spears of the Undefeated. Listen to Ben.
Resigning kind of helped, and this summer finding who I was as a player again. You know, I kind of lost that last season to where I was just going through motions and I wasn't playing the game I knew how to play. And I kind of found that this summer, and I kind of feel confident going onto the floor and saying, you know, I've prepared all summer for this, and I've worked harder than anybody here, and I'm going to show everybody.
Howard Eskin, your reaction, Ben Simmons saying he was going through the motions last year.
Sickening. You're in a playoff series. You get to the seventh game. It was the seventh game against Toronto,
yep,
right?
Yep.
You get to the seventh game, he's going through the motions. I don't understand it. It's just, I just don't get it. But now that he's gotten his money, what makes you think he's not going to go through the motions again? Because he's obviously, and it's really kind of sad, for a player that's got athletic skills, for a player that in his whole life, and I don't want to hear he's young anymore, because Doncic with Dallas is, what, 19 or 20 years old? And he shoots it from all over the place. He is a stud. I mean, I would take him over Ben Simmons in a millisecond, and he's 3 or 4 years younger. I don't want to hear that he was going through the motions. And it looks like he's just afraid to shoot. With all that nonsense in the off season, he's afraid to shoot. And that's not going to work. They can't win like that. I can't believe there wasn't more made of that.
I found it until the other night, and I can't believe it either. And Howard, here's what worries me. This is a guy that there it is. He admitted he went through the motions, and he said this offseason he was going to be different. He was going to work on these things. And I know it's early, and it's only, you know, 7 games in, and now he's going to miss one coming up Friday night. But this was his chance to show us, okay, I changed, I evolved, and he's shown nothing that he's any different. He's still a good player, but he's the same player.
Yeah, he you're right, he is no different. And actually, he's not the same player. And the reason I say that is because teams now understand. They've had pretty good scouting reports on him over the last couple of years. They understand what they have to do to stop him. Just don't let him get to the basket, because you know he's not, unless he gets it out on the break, he's not going to score, because he's still afraid to take a jump shot. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So I don't think he's as good, because the other teams are playing him better because they've scouted him. And that, I think that's a bigger problem than anything.
It is.
I understand he's not going to play tomorrow night. I get that. But my understanding of that injury, it's a pain tolerance thing. I don't know. I see there's some reports out there now, but people just start guessing that he's going to be out 3 games. If pain tolerance is pain tolerance. From what I understand, he can't hurt it any further. But once he gets back to Philadelphia, he will get examined. I don't know what doctors are out there now, and I don't know who's out there, but he'll get examined by doctors here back in Philadelphia. So nobody knows that. But if it's just a pain tolerance thing, why can't he play on Sunday night? But we'll see. I mean, you got to wait till he comes back, and then they'll figure it out over the weekend on whether he's going to play on Sunday. But don't take the easy way out. Every game counts, because Milwaukee is still an excellent, excellent, excellent team. And the home court matters at the end, and you've got to treat it that way. And, you know, with load management and all of a sudden, that's another problem. But that's Embiid. That shouldn't be Ben Simmons.
It shouldn't. Let's talk to Todd in South Philly up on WIP. What's up, Todd?
Hey, nothing much. How about you guys?
Good, Todd. What's going on?
Good.
So I first wanted to start out with, the Sixers need to, on the Jumbotron during every home game, just loop those videos entire game. I don't care what else happens. Just loop the Ben Simmons videos. Maybe it'll build him confidence, but at the very least, it'll make him uncomfortable, because everybody's going to be like, hey, why aren't you taking the shots that you posted all summer? I'm down for that. Fix Ben Simmons like that.
Howard, thumbs up on that idea?
No. I would love it, but you know that's not going to happen.
Well, right, of course.
Of course it's not going to happen. Of course not, but it would be hilarious. But the other thing is, and Joe, when you mentioned yesterday on Right to Ricky about possibly trading Ben, and I know Tom from Abington disagreed today, but what I wanted to say about that is Tom said wait another year. The problem with waiting another year is he loses all his value the longer you wait to trade him, because then people are going to see what we see here in Philly, that he's never going to get that J, or it really doesn't look like he ever will. I think we gave him the 2.5 years now, or we gave him a decent amount of time. He's decided he's not going to do it. It might be time to ship him off and try to get enough in return. So obviously, if this wasn't the Sixers, or I mean, if we weren't trading with the Celtics, I think I would like a Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart trade. Obviously, it's not going to happen because it's to the Celtics, but I think that would be a reasonable trade that makes the Sixers better. And then I think that's the type of trade that the Sixers need to look for to actually bring a championship to Philly.
What makes you think Danny Ainge is going to make that trade? And I don't know. I think the Sixers would make that trade. I think you would probably have to get a player and a draft pick, you know, maybe a mid round plus a player, mid first round plus a player.
The player would have to be very good. It had to be a very good player.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, which is why I said Kemba.
Yeah.
Like I think Ben is better than Kemba. I think that Kemba just fits in with this team more so. But that's why I also threw in Marcus Smart. But I'm saying a trade along those lines where we get a nice role player, somebody to fill in, and we get that scoring point guard that can create space that we really need.
Yeah, listen, Todd, and we appreciate the call. Howard, and we'll talk about it more on the other side, but at some point we have to stop closing our eyes and hoping he's going to change. He's had a lot of time. He's had a full offseason, and hopefully he comes back on Sunday or whatever and he starts showing us some progress. But if every day he's the same player, it probably means tomorrow he's the same player too.
Yeah, I don't see why it's going to change now, because nobody's pushing him to do the things that he worked on. I'm telling you, it's if you're waiting for development, obviously you're frustrated, and I understand why people are frustrated. I mean, show us what you showed us on those ridiculous videos, and that's what's got to happen.
It does. Howard, we'll come back. Your phone calls 888-729-9494. Howard, we'll hit on a couple of Phillies things along with this Ben Simmons conversation. Matt Klentak was on the Midday Show today, and I think, Howard, he indirectly answered your question from a couple of weeks ago about their farm system. Matt Klentak weighed in on the Phillies farm system. We'll play that for you, and the potential return of Cole Hamels. That's coming up. Howard Eskin with Sports Radio 94 WIP. 6:27 on a Thursday night, riding with the Kings, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you, Howard Eskin with us. He is in Atlantic City making history. Was it the first esports bet in the state of New Jersey? Was that it, Howard?
That was it, and it may be the first one in the United States of America. New Jersey approved it, the Gambling Commission. The Borgata was the first one to have it. They asked me to make the first bet. And they laid $100 down on Team G2, and they're the chalk at 140.
I'm looking at the website with the G2 team here. These guys look menacing, Howard. They look like they're going to take no prisoners. When is this game? When is this match? Is it a game?
Sunday,
what do you call it?
Sunday in Paris.
Sunday in Paris. Are you heading out there? It's a bye week.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think I might go to Paris just to be there to root on my team.
Well, you know what? If you do, we need a periscope of Howard Eskin in Paris, rooting on esports League of Legends.
Hey Joe, you heard that the Comcast is building an arena for esports down where the Spectrum used to be. Did you know that?
I did, and there's a rumor that you're going to be the commissioner of the league.
Well, I'm one of two people that are still in line for that job.
Okay, who's the other?
Well, I can't say because it's under wraps, but I've already revealed I'm one of them. I can't give you the other one because I'm just going to Gabe Kapler because he's still looking for a job. Maybe it'll be him.
Hey, he might get that Giants job, Howard. He's a finalist.
I know. We'll see. I'm wishing him the best, as Matt Klentak did today.
He did. All right, 888-729-9494. That is how you get in. We're on the same page here. Simmons is frustrating. We know the Eagles signed Jordan Matthews. Howard, before we play Matt Klentak, I just want to touch on the Cole Hamels things. There was an article today. Cole Hamels, I guess, talked to Todd Zielecki and made it very crystal clear that he would love to be here, even went to the point of that he would accept a one-year deal to play for a contender and to come back here and play. This feels like a no-brainer. If it's just a one-year deal, if it's not that much money, I can't see why Cole Hamels wouldn't be back here next year.
Yeah, I one-year deal at how much? So that's what it comes down
right.
to. But, yeah, and he still has a home here. He lives in Delaware County. He's back a lot. So he obviously still has really a lot of roots here. Loves it here. But the thing that I worry about, and I have no problem if it's a one-year deal. He's been injured the last 2 years, right? Hasn't he had injuries the last 2 years?
So last year he was off to a great start. Then he had an oblique injury in the middle of the year, and then he did not pitch well at the end. So that happened.
I don't know what it was the year before, but I'd have with a one-year deal, if it's not a lot of money, I still think, knowing it's the end of his career, he'd probably want to get more money than it sounds like. It's pretty simple, but we'll see. I do know this. They do. We both know they need a left-hander. Baumgartner is one of the pitchers that they have discussed about trying to go after. So we'll see if that happens, and Cole Hamels. That could happen if they don't get Baumgartner. They need here's the The guys in midday were talking about Garrett Cole. They're not going to get Garrett Cole. They have too many holes to fill, and that would be too much money at one position. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. They need a third baseman. Moustakas is a guy that they've thought about. They need a left-handed pitcher. Baumgartner is a guy that they've thought about. There's other pitchers. But Cole Hamels could fit into it, depending on what happens with Baumgartner and what else they do. But they've got to get to the point. They've got to have some young players make it. That's the other thing. And with all this, you can't just win signing free agents. You've got to have development from your farm system. And that has not happened. I know Matt Klentak had an excuse for that today.
Well, let's play that now. You led us right into it. So, yeah, Matt Klentak today was on with the Midday Show. It was a great interview. And at one point, he was asked about the farm system. And really, I almost thought this was an extension of the question you asked a couple weeks ago when they announced that Gabe Kapler was no longer here about this farm system, where it is. Here's Klentak today. All right, Tucker, I've had enough of Klentak here. Howard, that felt like a minute.
He is not even transparent. Now, he's smooth and he's slick. He's so not transparent with that whole thing. J.P. Crawford, if you look at him, I think ended up hitting 235 this year. Don't give me J.P. Crawford, because that's just nonsense. The other thing is, when he talks about players that they've lost because they've lost them in the draft because they've signed free agents. Well, if you develop players, and this is what good teams do, this is what Washington has done, this is what Atlanta has done, this is what Miami's going to do. If you develop players, then you don't need to go out and sign free agents.
Yes.
And by not doing that, you won't lose draft picks. Al Farrow and all these guys he's talking about aren't even his players that he's drafted. They're not even his players.
He mentioned Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola was drafted by Ruben Amaro Jr.
I know. Well, look at Hoskins wasn't his.
Yep.
Kingery wasn't his. Alfaro, didn't you use him to get Realmuto? So you got a better catcher. Well, don't give me Alfaro when you got Realmuto in that trade. It just makes Matt Klentak he's smooth and he's very, very smart. But that was not transparent. He was not being straight up and really forthright with people when he talked about that. It's your fault that you have to go out and sign free agents. And Realmuto was the only good deal that he made, because
yep.
Segura, we see now, really was not a good deal. He might even have to play third base.
I think he will, or second. And Howard, it was disingenuous too when he talked about how they've graduated a lot of young players, so that will take a hit to the farm system rankings. They haven't graduated any great ones. Like Hoskins is good, and Kingery is good. Like some of these guys are good players, but like the Nationals graduated Juan Soto to the big leagues. That will affect your farm system rankings because he's no longer a prospect. They don't have any Juan Sotos here, Ronald Acuna's.
No, I mean, the only guy on this team that he's drafted that made this team is Haseley. Who else has made this team? He said another thing about the bullpen. See, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. They said, we had more injuries in one area, and the bullpen, which hurt us. But didn't they, don't you remember at the news conference, they rolled out that they had the fourth best
ERA in
their bullpen the second half of the season. So if that's the case, well, it didn't really hurt you. Now, I think Robertson was the guy that hurt. The rest of the guys are stiffs. But Robinson was the guy that really hurt. Neshek sucks. Tommy Hunter sucks. You know, that was a waste of time. So I don't want to hear about all that when you tell us you had the fourth best ERA the second half of the season in the bullpen, and then you tell us you've lost players there. It doesn't make sense. The question I wanted asked, and I understand it's tough for guys, and I was on with those guys today. I says, this is the question I wanted to ask to Matt Klentak. I know they asked him if he worried about his job. Yeah, okay, that's fine. That's a little tough. The question I wanted, without the $500 million of John Middleton's money you spent, and outside a Realmuto trade, what have you done to make this team better since you've been the general manager? Think about that.
Almost nothing. Almost nothing.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's the real issue. I don't want to hear about draft picks you've lost. You lost them because you haven't developed players, and you have to go out and sign free agents because you want to win. They better start developing a farm system. I know they got somebody new there, which should help. But that takes time to develop those players. And the Braves do it. I mean, the Braves, how do the Braves do it and the Phillies don't? That's what I want to know. The Phillies have been worse than the Braves over the period since Matt Klentak's here, right?
Yeah,
They've been worse.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, but they did it the right way, and now they got studs. the Nationals have some really, really good players. And watch out for Miami. I don't know. I've been told by people that they have a really good, let's put it this way, a good farm system. So watch out for them, too. That was a lot of, I'll call it double talk, but he wasn't forthright with people when he starts doing that. And he can do that because Matt is an intelligent guy, and he can spin things the way it sounds good. But if you look through it, this is where, see, I'd like to do an interview with him, and obviously you know that I wouldn't be afraid to ask a question. Wait a minute, Matt. You're the one that didn't develop guys, so you had to go out and sign free agents. What free agents? And again, I go back to that question. Outside of John Middleton's $500 million and Realmuto, one trade, what have you done to make this team better?
Nothing. No, not enough is the answer. Let's talk to Frank, who's in Burlington, up on WIP. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, I really think we're looking at Simmons in the wrong way. I don't think he's capable of evolving, and some people are just not shooters. I hate to say it. I think he can distribute the ball. He can go to the hoop. Oh, he's so athletic. If you don't shoot the ball by now at this point in his career, he's not a shooter. I think we all got to deal with that reality, period.
Well, Frank, if you're right, and you may be, then they can't win a championship with this combination. Like, it doesn't work. The math doesn't work. You can't have two guys, in Simmons and Embiid that are both guys that need to be near the basket. This won't. They can't win a title unless he evolves, and if they want to win one, they're going to have to move him out of here.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the truth. I don't think they're that far away, and I don't know if they couldn't win. But I absolutely believe that if they want somebody that can put the ball in the hole, they're going to have to move them. That's the only thing I can think.
Yeah, and I wonder at what point, and Frank, we appreciate it. I wonder at what point, Howard, they're going to have to start thinking about that. Because you know they don't want him. They just paid him. But at some point, they have to realize what we see.
Well, here's the other problem with that. Because they paid him, which I would not have done, giving him a max contract for what he gets. I would not have done that. Now you got to match money up because the Sixers are right about at the cap. I think they're right about at their cap. So there's not a lot of room to fit players in unless, and I don't know about the other teams. So you got to get rid of his money, but you got to take that money back if another team is capped out. If you find a team that's not capped out, then you get a break. But I don't know what players they have. I would have signed Kemba Walker and traded Simmons. That's what I would have done. But I'm not the general manager. I do like Elton Brand. I know he's a smart basketball guy. But that's what I would have done. But there's this feeling in the organization, and it probably starts with Brett Brown because he's got a relationship with his family, that didn't want to do that. And the coaches always believe they can make players better. And I don't know that Ben Simmons is better. Now, he's good. He's not great. He's good, but the only way to make him better is to create some kind of threat with a jump shot. And if you're 22 or 23, whatever he is, and you don't have a jump shot yet, I don't know where it's coming from. And especially now we see he's afraid to shoot outside of a few feet. I don't understand it. Here's what I would do. I think we talked about it, and the caller talked about it the other night, if they didn't hear it. I would run a play for him for a jump shot. And if he passes the ball and he's open, now if he's covered, that's one thing. If he passed the ball and he's open, I'd run it again. And if he doesn't take it at that point, you got to almost force him to take it, I would sit him down. And because when you look at the numbers of the points scored, when he's in there and when he's not in there, and defense, when he's in there and not in there, it's almost similar. But when you get to the real games, and the regular season's a bunch of nonsense, when you get to the real games in the playoffs, that's not going to work.
It is not. And that is all that matters. This team's not about just making the playoffs. It's about doing something there. 888-729-9494, #9494 to hop in. Joe Giglio, Esports Vegas. Vic on the other side from Atlantic City. You guys with us, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin down in Atlantic City after placing the first esports bet in Atlantic City and maybe in the country with the match going on what, Sunday in Paris, Howard?
Sunday in Paris, League of Legends, Team G2. Remember that. Keep an eye out for that. And if people want to, you know what's crazy? Here at the Borgata on Sunday, they're opening up Moneyline, I believe, at 6 o'clock in the morning because, remember, Paris is earlier. I think they're ahead of us. We're earlier, whatever. It's 7 o'clock our time, is when the event goes off. So they're opening up at 6 o'clock, and people will be flooding in to make bets on. And I'm just giving them a little tip, Team G2. They're going to drive the number up, but that's the one.
Well, you got them early. Let's talk to Steve in Levittown. What's up, Steve?
Good evening. How you both doing?
Great.
Yeah, if Matt Clintock, all the spinning he's going to do is be spinning out of here after 2020. And if you're looking to him to rebuild his pitching staff, you should be afraid, be very afraid. And I just don't. This team, I believe the Phillies team will be average again next year. You're right; they don't have a core, and you usually build a core. You really build your team from a core of young players, then you sprinkle it with a couple of free agents. But this team. I don't see a light in the tunnel for them for a couple of years. And anybody who thinks they're going to make the playoffs next year is just not thinking about it right. That's my opinion. But Clintock has to go. And like I said, the only spinning he's going to do is spinning out of here after 2020. That's my opinion.
Well, Steve, you might be. Howard, if Clintock doesn't – look, they asked him today. And Steve, we appreciate the call. Howard, they asked him today on the midday show if he worried about his job security, you know, when the season ended. He said no, but – if they have another tough year or they fall short of the playoffs, he's the next one. The spotlight goes on.
Yeah, I mean, this year will be different. And not worried about a job because he just signed a contract before the season. So why would he worry?
Right.
He's going to get paid anyway. And, in fact, he made a good point. He's talked to Middleton. So Middleton, I don't know that had a direction to go if they blew up Clintock, but he didn't deserve – and neither did Andy McPhail deserve to come back with what this team has done, which is really nothing, to build themselves up to a 500 team. It's like, really? Is that all there is? And that's not good enough. But, yeah, I wouldn't think he would be worried. But, yeah, he answered the question, which is fine. And I believe him that he wasn't worried.
Yeah, I do too. Dan in Philly is up on WIBA. Dan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Dan. What's up?
Howard, as much as I respect your opinion about all the other teams, and I do, and I agree with everything you say, it seems like you don't speak with as much tenacity about the Eagles as you do when you speak about the other teams. Is there a reason for that?
Well, I think they won a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
They did.
Yeah, okay. I'm just checking. They still have good. They're not good enough right now. They're not good enough to win a Super Bowl, but they're good enough to make the playoffs. What do you mean? Here's the problem.
Let me explain this.
People say I don't have enough tenacity. Yet I got torched by people because of my comments about Alshon Jeffrey. So that's pretty tenacious, I would think. It wasn't planned out, but I was trying to be honest. And there were some people that weren't real happy about it. We've moved on from all that. So you can't pick and choose where my tenacity is. If you ask me a direct question, and somebody wants to ask me a direct question, I believe I'll be, as a matter of fact, I'm sure I'll be honest with them. What players aren't doing a good enough job? What players are doing a good enough job? You point out certain things, and I believe I do that. But the Eagles are in a better situation than the Phillies. They're in a better situation than the Flyers. And the Sixers haven't accomplished anything yet. So what do you want me to do? Really, what do you want me to do?
Dan, what do you want them to do?
Well, and when you say in a better position, their receiving core is a joke.
That's a huge area, Alex. Do the Phillies have a chance to make the playoffs? No, not right now. They do not. All right? Do you agree with that or not? Don't agree with that.
I agree with that.
Okay. All right. So they don't have a chance to make the playoffs. The Flyers are borderline, and I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. They have a solid goaltender, but he's young, but the other parts of the team aren't good enough. They're not ready yet. So that's,
but would you agree that our receiving core is a joke?
I don't think it's a joke, but I don't think it's good enough. But what the problem is, you lost a player that you really counted on, and you didn't know he was going to get hurt. He does get hurt during seasons, but you didn't know you were going to lose him for basically the season, and that changed the dynamics. It's not but Alshon Jeffrey is not as good as he really needs to be, and Aguilar is just okay.
Howard, I heard a stat the other day that Jackson has more receiving yards this season than Holland.
That makes
and
sense.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah. Dan, before you go on, you're not wrong about that it's a bad receiving corps. But here's the thing. Dan, every time we do this, we ignore the fact they have the best combination of tight ends in the NFL. They have two good backs and a really good offensive line.
I understand that, but isn't it easier to target and to cover them when they have no other threat?
Wait a second. Dan, we appreciate
it. Is your name Dan?
I'll let Dan go, but go ahead, Howard.
Okay, here's the thing. He's telling me Hollins and Arcega-Whiteside, they're the seventh wide receiver. They're seventh in line because you've got, as far as catching the football, you got two tight ends, you got Miles Sanders, you got all the other players. That's really easy, and that's stupid and asinine to point out. Arcega-Whiteside, that may not be a good draft pick. We don't know that yet because he's got great hands, he's a great guy, he's got height, but he doesn't have the speed, and the team now needs that, but that wasn't the way the team was built. And as far as Holland, you know, you give me Holland, that's just stupid, and that's just foolish to throw that in there when they're the sixth and seventh wide receivers on this team because Sanders is turned into a good receiver. That's just stupid.
Yeah, and I think people are just ignoring.
An asinine comment.
People are ignoring. Like, Howard, on Sunday, there was a slog at the end, and they had to have that drive to finish it, but they had nearly 400 yards against – you know, Chicago is still a top 10 defense in the NFL. They moved the ball the whole game on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, and how many was there? Four third down conversions in that drive?
Yes, yes. And some long ones. Third
huge.
And 13 to Sanders, yeah.
Okay, so you're complaining. Alshon Jeffrey, I believe, caught a pass in that drive. The tight ends caught a pass in that drive. So they move it around. Are they as good as we wanted or expected the wide receivers to be? No, they're not. But they're. Right now, they're good enough, and they have to be good enough when you include the two tight ends and the development of Miles Sanders as a receiver and a mismatch that he creates. You know, that guy ought to just jump off a bridge. I can't say that. Jump off a bridge.
You know what he could do?
Right.
He needs to keep listening to WIP so we can educate him.
If he's worried about Mac Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and he moves them into the conversation about wide receivers, that's just stupid.
All right, Howard, a bye week. I appreciate you hopping on from Atlantic City. So you're off, as we understand it, to Paris to root on your team on Sunday, right?
Yeah, Team G2 and eSports, the first bet. I feel honored to have made the first bet in the state of New Jersey on eSports. It's now open and maybe the first bet in the country.
There it is. All right, Howard, I appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the weekend. I'll see you Tuesday as we get ready for Patriot Week.
Can't wait.
All right, there he is. Howard Eskin, Vegas Vic of eSports with us right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. We'll come back. All your calls, 888-729-9494.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.